From the studios at Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. More than 50 years ago, Terry Riley was sent to Nampa by the Catholic Church to help the farmworker community. He started a small health clinic, which grew and grew and grew. Today, Terry Riley Health Services operates clinics across southwest Idaho that do all they can to provide medical, dental, and behavioral health care to anyone who needs it, regardless of their ability to pay. And we want to learn more about Terry Riley because they have clinics in a lot of rural areas like Marsing, which is where Boise State Public Radio was holding our second panel on mental health. We'll do this on Thursday night. Our goal is to help build connections between teens and families, as well as their support networks. And also building connections is something that Brittany Journey does on a daily basis. She is the assistant director of behavioral health for Terry Riley, and she's joining us now. Brittany, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So, Brittany, let's start with this. Why is Terry Riley different from other healthcare networks here in our state?
Well, as a community health center, we really are trying to provide the best wraparound services for people. And that what that means is, you know, integrated healthcare with medical, dental, and behavioral health, as well as pharmacy. And we're also trying to assist people that may not have the resources to go to any doctor per se. And so we not only accept insurances, I always like to remind people we do accept insurances, but we also see a fair number of people who are uninsured.
So can you talk a little bit about behavioral health care? What exactly is that for folks who may not be familiar with that term?
Certainly. Yeah. For us, what it means is behavioral health services for Terry Riley is counseling. It could also be medication management, as well as case management and connecting people to resources.
And I know that, as I mentioned, you are the assistant director of behavioral health for Terry Riley. So what kind of services do you do? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. I had the pleasure of overseeing a team of general behavioral health therapists, trauma therapists, and substance use disorder therapists. And we are providing services in multiple locations across the Treasure Valley, primarily in Boise, Nampa, and Caldwell. And we are serving the rural communities that surround each of those locations.
On average, how many patients would you say that you see in regards to behavioral health care?
You know, I'm horrible with numbers, but we see a lot, and I know my wait list never, ever ends. So I think, you know, we are each provider, you know, individual therapy, typically providers are seeing anywhere from 20 to 30 people a week. Our medication management team sees, you know, I would say a patient every 15 minutes. It's like there is so much need, and we are definitely trying to serve as many as we can.
What would you say are barriers to care that many of your patients face?
Well, there are plenty of barriers, but I mean, before I get sidetracked, I do want to share some of the good things that I have seen. Mm-hmm. I've been with Terry Riley for over 20 years, and I started my time providing mental health education and outreach to the rural communities supported by Terry Riley, such as Marsing and Homedale and Wilder and Melba. And one of the biggest changes I have observed is the decreased stigma of seeking out mental health services, both for counseling and medication management. You know, and additionally, we have also seen a new adolescent population who is much more educated about mental health symptoms and treatment, and that they are seeking out support. So that's the encouraging part for me, even though there are a lot of barriers that go along with accessing mental health services.
You know, you bring up such a good point, I think, when you talk about, you know, middle schoolers, high schoolers, those early teens till 18 years, is you're right. I think that there is less stigma, but what they're learning about mental health, right? I mean, I know even with my own children in their schools, they have a program called SOS, Signs of Suicide, right? And they learn about this. This was never something that was discussed when I was growing up. In fact, there was this idea that if you talked about it, then kids were going to be prone to do it. What do you think has shifted in our culture that we have seen more stigma going away, but kids, frankly, being okay talking about this?
Well, I think, you know, what you first said about having programming within the school to provide that basic education about the signs of suicide or what depression or anxiety looks like. But then, of course, we also have social media and TikTok and Instagram sharing really helpful information by licensed providers about not only what depression looks like, but what you can do if you are having depression. And so I think, you know, those things make it a lot easier for teenagers to communicate about their mental health needs.
Are you seeing any trends in the kinds of care your patients need? I'm wondering, in particular, when we were in the midst of the pandemic and where we are now, have you seen changes in what children and their parents need after the height of the pandemic?
I don't know if I've seen so many changes. I mean, I would say we're primarily serving youth populations that are suffering from depression, anxiety, mm-hmm. PTSD, and suicidal thoughts. But I think the change is the increased request for services. It's just the number has just, you know, expanded, and not just for adolescents, right? Also for their parents as well.
So increase for services. Can we talk a little bit about that? Because is it that we are seeing, you know, more kids in crisis, which we do know we have a mental health issue in particular here in Idaho, a teen mental health crisis. But also, or are you seeing, you know, kids reaching out that might have, I don't want to say lesser mental health issues, but maybe it's more like anxiety and things like that, and they're seeking care as well?
I think it's both. We have families walking into our medical clinics every day with an adolescent who is expressing suicidal ideation. But we also have plenty of parents reaching out to us with saying, you know, my child's struggling with anxiety. They're having a panic attacks in school. They're not wanting to go to school. I think they have depression. So I think, you know, it's both for sure.
Do you think that we are seeing an increase in mental health issues in this particular population when we're talking about children and teens? Or is it something that we're talking about more? So therefore, when we talk about it and we bring it to light and we have these services, we are more prone to ask for help?
Well, I think we're definitely advocating for ourselves better now mm-hmm. and recognizing that ourselves or our children may need additional support that can come from therapy or medication management. And then that's exciting for me. I don't necessarily, you know, so I don't think just because we talk about it doesn't make it happen. But I,
right.
you know, I'm sure for our generation, many of our friends and family members probably didn't think it was safe or acceptable to reach out for help.
You know, as a society, it seems that we focus a lot on I think, treating the physical body, right? We are getting better at treating the mind, the brain. How important do you believe behavioral services are to our communities, in particular in our rural communities?
Well, I think it's real. I'm a therapist. I think it's really important.
Yeah.
I see great gains and improvements physically when the emotional health is well. And so within our rural populations, yeah, what I'm looking for is just more expansion of behavioral health services throughout our state. And that's really challenging because I think the reality is we have a need for more behavioral health providers. And I'm talking about counselors, social workers, clinical psychologists, and psychiatrists. You know, I would love for all Idaho higher education institutions to continue to expand their behavioral health programs, because I know for Terry Riley, we heavily recruit both interns and recent master level graduates. And I can tell you there are not enough providers. This is a great time to find employment within the mental health field, but it's not necessarily the easiest time for adults and youth to find providers for counseling or testing or medication management, especially if you are in a rural area.
I want to dig a little bit more into that. I mean, as you just mentioned, right, we have a shortage of mental health providers. With that said, there are other barriers as well when it comes to care. And I want to focus now on really on these rural areas. So there's a note on your website for some of your clinics, including your Marcin clinic, that says this office is not accessible by public transportation. Why is it important that there is a message like that on your website for these particular clinics?
Well, because some people don't have transportation, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we look at Homedale and our Homedale and Marsing and Melba and Middleton clinics, it's, you have to be able to get a ride or have a ride to show up, even, you know, even for medical services, let alone counseling. And even with Medicaid transportation, you know, we have some, you know, a lot of children and adults who qualify for Medicaid insurance, but, and while Medicaid does have transportation, the barrier there is they often do not serve or do not serve well the small rural populations and getting kids to and from counseling services. And so, that's where we look towards telehealth, or that's where we could look towards school-based therapy to see if there's ways to go to where the need is.
So that's one barrier. Another barrier, mm-hmm. as I mentioned in the beginning of our conversation, is sometimes ability to pay. This is a big one for a lot of folks, right? Rural or not. Talk a little bit more about that, because with Terry Riley, you do something where some health clinics don't do this, and that is, people get help regardless of the ability to pay.
Yeah, and I think that's especially important with behavioral health, because unlike a medical visit, which you may go to twice a year or maybe once a month, counseling mm-hmm. is typically weekly, and that can add up very quickly. And so if you have the good fortune of having insurance, maybe you're paying a copay or your deductible, but for uninsured, it's really cost prohibitive. So we do have sliding fee. We do have grants that cover some scholarships for counseling. We really are trying to get creative in the ways that we make sure that we can provide our patients not only medical care, but behavioral health care as well.
What about language? Is that a barrier? And I ask that question because I believe close to 40% of Terry Riley staff is bilingual in both English and Spanish.
Yes, I think that is the number for sure. And it is, you know, and while our monolingual Spanish-speaking patient population has decreased a little bit since I first started with Terry Riley, it's still a need. And I think it all often comes up. I primarily see children, and it will often come up where the children will speak English, but parents are still most comfortable in Spanish. And so we have staff that can do bilingual services in Spanish. We also have translation services if needed. And that's just not just for Spanish, but any language. And so the reality is we need to be meeting people where they are, and that includes their language.
With the experience that you have, you said you've been with Terry Riley for upwards of 20 years. When we're looking at our rural communities that you serve, and we've talked about certain barriers, what would you say is probably the biggest barrier to care for folks who live in our rural communities like Marsing?
Well, I think the biggest barrier is the lack of providers, right? And so for Terry mm-hmm. Riley, it's about the recruitment and retention of therapists and psychiatric providers in rural communities. During the time I've been with Terry Riley, we certainly have been able to have counselors and social workers in Marsing and Homedale and Melba. However, when they move on, it can be very challenging to replace them. And so I am constantly looking for providers who want to work out in these areas, and even more importantly, are bilingual, right? So that I think just having those providers in the community is our biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what advice would you give for parents or caregivers who have children who are struggling with a mental health issue, especially maybe if they fall into that category where they might believe that they can't get help if they can't pay for this service?
Well, I would certainly encourage them to reach out to us. Just starting the process of just even looking out there, what is available in your location, and not just limiting yourself to a building, a brick and mortar location. Telehealth options are, you know, there. I'm still a true believer in in-person counseling, but I do think that telehealth counseling can be a good option, especially for our junior high and high school students. And so that would be an option. And then also advocating for our students with our different school districts of really trying to expand school-based therapy throughout the state.
Before we wrap up, what advice do you have for maybe those teenagers who are struggling as well with a mental health issue, and maybe they're, you know, they don't know where to turn?
Well, I think both as a therapist and as a parent, I want our youth to know that the first group of people they should be speaking to is their parents. Their parents, mm-hmm. you know, their parents know them better than anyone else. And I think that alone, just being able to start that communication with parents or whoever their family members are they're living with, of just sharing with them what their struggles are, asking for help, just letting them know what's going on in their world can make a big difference. Even if they can't get a counselor right away, communicating with your grown-ups should be the number one priority.
Well, Brittany, I really want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us about this really important topic. So thanks for taking time today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
The candidates for November are set.
Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.